One of the deadliest nights of the war in Gaza.
Strikes that began hours before midnight persisted into Christmas Day on Monday. Residents and Palestinian media say Israel stepped up air and ground shelling in central Gaza.
Plus, Christmas in the Holy Land.
A manger in the midst of a rubble resembling a destroyed house in Gaza, and the child Jesus as a child was under the rubble.
And later we visit an Estonian military base and the home of America's first president. Today is Monday, December 25th, and this is VOA's Flashpoint Global Crises. Good evening, I'm Steve Karish in Washington. It's Christmas in Kyiv and in the Holy Land. We'll hear from both places later in the show. First, though, more than 100 people were killed by Israeli airstrikes in Gaza, including at least 68 at the Maghazi refugee camp. This according to Palestinian health officials. It was one of Gaza's deadliest nights of the 11-week-long war between Israel and Hamas. Reuters' Rachel Graham has more.
Israeli airstrikes killed more than 100 people in Gaza, according to Palestinian health officials. It made for one of the besieged enclave's deadliest nights of Israel's 11-week-old battle with Hamas. Strikes that began hours before midnight persisted into Christmas Day on Monday. Residents and Palestinian media say Israel stepped up air and ground shelling in central Gaza. At least 70 people were killed in an Israeli airstrike that hit the Maghazi refugee camp, the Palestinian Health Ministry spokesman said, adding that many were women and children. The Palestinian Red Crescent published footage of wounded residents being transported to hospitals. It said Israeli warplanes were bombing main roads, hindering the passage of ambulances and emergency vehicles.
That's Rachel Graham of Reuters reporting. And a video obtained by Reuters showed drone footage of the ravished area in the Maghazi refugee camp that was struck overnight. Strikes began hours before midnight on Sunday, persisting into Christmas Day. The Israeli army said it was reviewing the Maghazi incident and it is committed to minimizing harm to civilians. Hamas denies the Israeli charge that it operates in densely populated areas or uses civilians as human shields, even as Israel presents evidence that shows this to be the case. On Monday, Israel released video footage purported to be of their soldiers raiding an ammunition factory in Khan Yunis. And in what could be a tremendous breakthrough, Egypt is reported to have put forward an ambitious proposal to end the war with a ceasefire, a phased hostage release, and the creation of a Palestinian government of experts who would administer the Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank. The proposal, worked out between Egypt and the Gulf nation of Qatar, has been presented to Israel, Hamas, the United States, and European governments, but it's still in the preliminary stages. Meanwhile, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that Israel will not succeed at freeing hostages being held in Gaza without military pressure. The Egyptian proposal falls short of Israel's professed goal of outright crushing Hamas, and it would appear not to meet Israel's insistence on keeping military control over Gaza for an extended period after the war. All this as Israel continues its military operations against Hamas and its allies during Christianity's major holidays. But in the United States, officials warn of heightened threats due to the conflict in Gaza. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has the story.
Christmas Eve in Gaza, the Israeli military releases footage claiming to show snippets of what it described as intense operations in northern Gaza and to the south in Khan Yunis. Israel says its strikes target areas of Hamas infrastructure. Meanwhile, Palestinians in Khan Yunis gathered the bodies of their dead ahead of a funeral service following an overnight airstrike. Much of the world has for weeks been calling for extended breaks in fighting to deliver desperately needed aid to civilians living in Palestinian territories. U.S. President Joe Biden, wishing reporters a Merry Christmas, said he had a long talk with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Biden called the details private, but said he did not ask for a ceasefire. Meanwhile, in Tel Aviv, Netanyahu spoke at his weekly cabinet meeting. He confirmed the conversation with Biden, adding that Israel is a sovereign state with wartime considerations that would not be dictated by external pressures. The conflict in Gaza threatens to spill outside the Middle East, with U.S. officials warning of a spike in anti-American sentiment due to Washington's support of Israel. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, speaking Sunday on ABC's This Week, as posted on X, formerly known as Twitter.
We're helping Israel deal with the destruction of Hamas, defending themselves after October the 7th. Jihadist groups all over the world are calling on their members to attack America as payback for us helping Israel.
The Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry says at least 20,000 Palestinians have died since the campaign against the group began following the October 7 attacks that killed 1,200 in Israel. U.S. officials say there is concern the country's support for Israel may bring blowback to the American homeland. Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco, speaking Sunday on ABC's This Week, as posted on X, formerly known as Twitter.
The current conflict is causing, I think, contributing to a heightened threat environment. What we are seeing is foreign terrorist organizations taking advantage and calling upon their adherents to act, to do something. And then we're seeing individuals and small groups that we worry will basically take twisted inspiration from the conflict overseas and from the very searing images that we're seeing that came out of the brutal terrorist attacks that occurred on October 7th.
At a time when Christians celebrate Christmas, a mostly silent night creeps through one of the religion's most important cities. Bethlehem's churches this year framed the nativity theme depicting the birth of Jesus Christ in barbed wire and rubble, a show of solidarity with the people of Gaza. Officials here say tourism this year dropped from 2.3 million up to September to no tourists since. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Changing gears now to the crisis in Ukraine and Eastern Europe. Last week, VOA's Eastern Europe Bureau Chief Miroslava Gungadze brought us to the border between Estonia and Russia. Today, she brings us to an Estonian military base where U.S. and Estonian troops have developed their capabilities to confront potential aggressors.
Close to the Russian border, the Tsar Army base in Varo, Estonia, serves as a strategic NATO training ground and a critical component of NATO's eastern flank defense. U.S. troops are here on rotation, joining their Estonian NATO counterparts. Part of the U.S. Army's famed 101st Airborne Division, the 1st Battalion, 187th Infantry Regiment, arrived here just a month ago. Its commander, Lieutenant Colonel Jared Wagner, says that its arrival and adaptation to conditions have been seamless.
We're picking up right where our counterparts left off with the 1506 that we replaced. So it's been a great experience this initial few weeks getting in and getting integrated with our partners here. And the mission is great. You know, we're going to train and build readiness and build interoperability with the Estonian Defense Forces.
In response to the Russian invasion of Ukraine, about 20,000 American troops were mobilized throughout Central and Eastern Europe. Currently, there are approximately 100,000 American service members stationed in Europe in support of NATO allies. One of the objectives for the U.S. troops is to conduct exercises under potential battle conditions. Command Sergeant Major Kirk Foster of the U.S. Army.
We want to be able to fight further, faster, and in the fiercest weather conditions. So right now, with this in Estonia, with this weather, a great opportunity for us to train with the Estonians that really understand fighting in this cold weather, in this terrain.
The security landscape in Europe has changed dramatically in the past 2 years. Presently, NATO identifies Russia as the most significant and direct threats to security, peace, and stability. Estonians are dedicated to improving their forces' capabilities and fostering cooperation with NATO counterparts, says Colonel Mati Taikirpu of the Estonian Defense Forces.
Estonia is has been building up its defense forces already last 30 years. We know our neighbor, and we know that it's not reliable. So we have been constantly building up and preparing our reserve force. And we are constantly exercising with allies according to our wartime plans.
He says that in their assessment, Russia is gathering up for the larger conflict. If no political changes occur in Russia, it's only a matter of time before NATO allies find themselves facing an adversary, Taikerpu says.
Well, the Russian invasion to Ukraine showed clearly that our east neighbor has ambitions and is a threat against its neighbors. They want to restore their Soviet influence in our region, and they are not afraid to use military power for that.
The Kremlin has repeatedly hinted at the encroaching on Poland or Baltic countries, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. Such rhetoric and Russia's aggressive actions against its neighbors and the broader transatlantic community have prompted NATO to enhance its readiness to protect and defend all allies. Miroslava Gongadze, VOA News, Tara Army Base, Estonia.
It's Christmas in Kyiv. VOA's Anna Chernikova is there. She spoke with my colleague, Lori London.
Ukraine is observing Christmas and, of course, another year at war. How are people doing and how are they celebrating?
It's quite a difficult, of course, Christmas for Ukrainian nation, and not a lot of, happy events are happening around. And it's understandable because the war is entering its it's almost two complete years of war, and it's entering another year. So not a lot of, happiness you can see around, not a lot of celebration, but still people are trying to keep it, inside of the family, to come together, because nowadays coming together as a family is also a big treasure for Ukrainians, because a lot of people do not have this opportunity, either because their members of the family are at the battlefield, or some people lost their members of the family, their loved ones, and some people are at the occupied territory, some people lost their home. So it's, a very complicated issue. So it's a tough Christmas for sure. And what's also important probably to mention that December 25th in Ukraine, it's a Christmas day and a lot of people have day off, but a lot of people still working. So it's a kind of working day despite the holiday because of the war situation.
As you said, it's difficult to go into another year with this Russian invasion continuing. Are people having a hard time feeling celebratory?
Well, definitely it's difficult for people to forget about the war, and it's difficult for people to just, take it easy, because if we look at the reports from the Air Force, for instance, over the Christmas Eve and Christmas night, Russian forces continue the attacks and continue to attack Ukrainian territory, and particularly over the night, Ukrainian forces, air forces, reported about at least 31 Russian drones targeting Ukrainian territory. 28 of those were destroyed. Also, Ukrainian forces reported that they managed to destroy two Russian jets, battle jets, and two missiles. So definitely in such conditions, it's quite tough for Ukrainian society to completely get into this Christmas mood.
Anna Chernikova, reporting for VOA from Kyiv. We thank you so much and have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
That's VOA's Anna Chernikova in Kyiv, speaking with Lori London, host of Flashpoint Ukraine. You're listening to Flashpoint Global Crises from the Voice of America. I'm Steve Karish in Washington. It's Christmas time at the home of George Washington, the first U.S. president. We'll go there soon. Now, for Christmas in the Holy Land. Christmas and the days leading up to it are usually high season in Bethlehem. But this year, the Palestinian West Bank city canceled all festivities because of the Israel-Hamas war. Linda Gradstein reports for VOA from Jerusalem.
A church in the Palestinian West Bank city of Bethlehem, the traditional birthplace of Jesus, displays a Christmas nativity scene created in solidarity with the Palestinians suffering from the war in Gaza. The Reverend Munther Issa is the pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Christmas Church in Bethlehem.
A manger in the midst of a rubble resembling a destroyed house in Gaza, and the child Jesus as a child who was under the rubble. We've seen so many images of children being pulled out of the rubble. And to us, this is a message that Jesus identifies with our suffering.
Bethlehem in the Christmas season is usually packed with international tourists who come to celebrate in festive manger square. But the ongoing war in Gaza and Hamas's continuous rocket bombardment on Israel have completely shut down tourism in both Israel and the West Bank. The Bethlehem municipality has canceled all Christmas celebrations. Hana Hananya is the mayor of Bethlehem.
Bethlehem city is a Palestinian city. And we are in mourning, we are in sad, as any other Palestinian city among Gaza Strip and West Bank. So we canceled all festivities of Christmas and all celebrations because of this aggression against our people in Gaza Strip.
The mayor says that about 70% of Bethlehem's economy is dependent on tourism. Now most of the souvenir shops are shuttered and about 70 hotels, usually overbooked during Christmas, have closed down. Young unemployed men sit around frustrated. Laith Rudeda is 19 years old and unemployed. He says that there is no opportunity to work and that the situation is very bad and getting worse as the war goes on. Before the war, he could work. Now, he says, there is nothing. Some of the few tourists visiting the city, like Pavel Kriminetsky, are Russian Orthodox Christians from Moscow.
Not afraid, no. Why? For we are Russians. But I don't afraid missile. I don't, because I'm also officer of Russian army.
While all festivities are canceled, religious services will still be held. Mayor Hananya says that he will spend most of Christmas Day in prayer.
We'll concentrate on praying for peace, because this is the city of peace. The message of peace was born here once Jesus Christ born in this city. So this message was distributed to the whole world. And nowadays, Bethlehem and the other Palestinian cities need the real peace.
He says he hopes that next year, the war in Gaza will be only a distant memory and joy will come back to Bethlehem. Linda Gradstein, VOA News, Bethlehem.
In Nazareth, the town where Christians believe Jesus lived much of his life, Christmas celebrations have been scaled back in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza. Christian leaders told VOA it's impossible to feel celebratory at this time, while business owners say trade has plummeted as tourists and pilgrims stay away due to the war. Henry Wilkins reports.
The Nazareth of Christmas is past, heaving with tourists and pilgrims visiting the town where the Bible says Jesus spent much of his life. Outside the Greek Orthodox Church of the Annunciation, a giant Christmas tree usually stands. This year, the streets are empty. The Christmas tree is nowhere to be found. The Reverend Simeon Bachali, the priest here, explains that Christmas celebrations have been scaled back this year in solidarity with Christians and Palestinians in Gaza.
It's a very bad situation, very sad situation. We see the thousands of people that died, children and babies, and even in Corona, we make a big tree. We celebrate. Not like this year.
VOA was able to speak by phone to Nabil Tarazi, a Christian in Gaza where communication blackouts are common. He said Palestinian Christians have been trying to take shelter from the Israeli bombardment in churches. Tarazi says that there is no celebration of Christmas or New Year in Gaza, and that at least 23 Christians have been killed, most of them in churches. He says there's an atmosphere of death here. Since the start of the Israel-Hamas war, triggered by the militant group's October 7th slaughter of approximately 1,200 Israelis, Palestinian health authorities say nearly 20,000 people have been killed in Gaza. Christian leaders in Nazareth and many other Israeli towns and cities, including Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, have coordinated to scale back celebrations this year. Beit Jali says this has never happened before, since the start of the Israeli-Palestine conflict in the 1940s, but the suffering in Gaza this year is so great, something had to be done. In a shop selling Christmas decorations, the owner, Joanne Bital, says the lack of pilgrims and tourists has made a major impact on trade.
This year, unfortunately, because of the war, the sales dropped about 70-80%. Of course, economically, it affects a lot. But thank God my family is safe, and here in Nazareth is a safe place, so that's the most important thing.
Nabila Espagnoli, a peace activist in Nazareth, points out that one of the central messages of Christmas is peace on earth, and says the global community needs to come together to end the fighting.
And if we can, all the world unite itself with this message, then I think we can make a change.
As for Beit Jali, he also hopes for an end to the fighting soon, looking to Jesus for answers.
And in these days, we need him. We just hope and pray for Jesus to come again and to give us the peace for all this area.
As Christmas draws nearer, peace in Gaza looks far off on the horizon. Henry Wilkins, VOA News, Nazareth, Israel.
And finally today, have you ever wondered how the holidays were celebrated in 18th century America? VOA's Saqib ul-Islam visits Mount Vernon, the historic home of America's first president, George Washington. At this historic site, one of the nation's most visited places, holiday traditions from the 1770s are preserved.
On a crisp December evening, as the sun sets behind Mount Vernon State, America's first president, General George Washington, prepares to greet holiday visitors at his home. The state has been preserved by experts to reflect 18th century Virginia. It was where the first president and the first lady spent time with family during the holidays.
So you'll meet guests who are dressed up, our character interpreters, talking about their experiences in 1773 and what they could talk about, and what they knew during that time. And we are doing this in honor of these years leading up to our 250th anniversary of the United States of America.
Christmas time happens but once a year.
Character actors portraying the president and his family, friends, and staff reenact the stories of Christmas's past. Guests can visit a winter market where vendors known as sutlers sell wares and crafts and see Aladdin, a camel Washington brought to Mount Vernon to entertain his guests. For most of the year, visitors aren't able to see the mansion in the evening, which usually closes before sunset. But with the holiday season come nighttime events.
This is our second time here, and we just really enjoy the fireworks, the celebratory atmosphere here, seeing Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's time to illuminate the sky. Hip, hip.
The night ends with season's greetings from George and Martha Washington and stunning fireworks.
My desire for my country would always be that they would always remember that they are all Americans and to see themselves as being partners in an ongoing experiment in popular government that can only succeed if we all consider each other part of the same union.
Mount Vernon is open 365 days a year, including the Christmas Day. Saqib ul-Islam, VOA News, Alexandria, Virginia.
And that's going to end today's program. There's more VOA coverage 24 hours a day on our website, voanews.com, and across our social media platforms. On behalf of everyone here at VOA, thanks for listening, and a Merry Christmas to those who celebrate. Until tomorrow, I'm Steve Karish.
Stay up to date with VOA Podcasts. Each weekday, International Edition covers the world's biggest stories, while Flashpoint Iran and Flashpoint Ukraine examine their respective regions in depth every week.